Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shankara Building Products Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varun Jain from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So today, we have been joined by the management team of Shankara Building Products. So we have Mr. Sukumar Srinivas, Managing Director, Mr. C. Ravi Kumar, Director, Mr. Dhananjay Srinivas, Vice President, and Mr. Alex Varghese, CFO. So I would now hand over to Mr. Dhananjay for opening remarks, followed by them, we'll have the Q&A. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. A very good morning and a very warm welcome to Shankara Building Products Limited earnings conference call for the quarter ended 30th September 2024. Joining me today are Mr. Sukumar Srinivas, Managing Director, Mr. C. Ravi Kumar, our Executive Director, and Mr. Alex Varghese, our CFO. Before we begin, I would like to remind everyone that this call may contain forward-looking statements, which are predictions, projections, and other estimates about future events. These statements are based on management's current expectations and involve risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. Our presentation for this call has been uploaded to the exchange. I hope you've all had the opportunity to review it. The first half of the fiscal year saw some macro weakness amid election-led slowdowns in construction activity, compounded by severe rains in several parts of India and softening in steel prices. Despite this, we are pleased to report that Shankara Building Products has demonstrated a resilient performance. We achieved a healthy steel volume growth of 25% year-on-year and a robust non-steel revenue growth of 35% year-on-year. Our overall revenues grew by 15% year-on-year, reaching rupees 2,620 crores for the half year. Our Q2 revenue was rupees 1,329 crores, a growth of 16% as compared to Q2 FY24. As India's largest steel tube marketplace, Shankara continues its stronghold in the steel tube segment. We saw a volume growth of 20% year-on-year, reaching 0.25 million tons in H1. Historically, steel tubes and pipes have been our key strength, where we command a sizable market share. We have, over the last few years, started focusing on other steel segments such as flats, longs, long products, roofing, and TMT. Our overall steel volumes were at 0.4 million tons in H1. We are confident of achieving 0.8 million tons in FY25. With an aspiration to grow to 1 million ton volume by FY25-26, we have a strong distribution network and tie-ups with leading brands, including APL Apollo, AMN/NS, and JSW, which will help us achieve these numbers. Our non-steel portfolio also showed robust growth, with 35% year-on-year growth in revenue in H1. Growth across all subsegments, including plumbing, sanitaryware, tiles, electricals, paints, hardware, and accessories. Notably, our sanitaryware and tile segments grew by 33% and 46%, respectively. The strength of our existing brands and expansion of our partnerships with marquee domestic and international brands continues to yield results. Our private label, Fosha, particularly grew in excess of 30% year-on-year. We are also excited to announce the inauguration of our 18,000 sq ft experience center in Morbi under our brand Fosha in September, which offers an extensive collection of innovative designs and sizes. This center was set up as a strategic hub to enhance visibility of our brands, as well as help us to expand our presence pan-India in the coming years, with a long-term intention to explore opportunities in exports. In Q2, we launched new products such as quartz sinks and adhesives under the Fosha brand. We continue to explore more opportunities as we move ahead. Overall, we are confident of achieving a sustained growth momentum with at least 30-35% CAGR growth in this segment for the coming years. In order to sustain our growth momentum, your company has identified 10 strategic locations to set up fulfillment centers in this fiscal. We are happy to inform that we have successfully operationalized 4 new fulfillment centers in H1, which include a Fosha Experience Center in Morbi, a non-steel center in Bangalore, a hybrid store in Kerala, and a non-steel center in Hyderabad. In the first half, we have grown rapidly in the western and central regions, around 60% and 40% year-on-year respectively in H1, together contributing to 18% of our top line. In this quarter, we also upgraded our e-commerce platform, www.wilpro.store. We added a number of products, including steel, to the platform. The team is continuously working to strengthen our digital presence and provide a comprehensive building material solutions platform. Despite a tough macro environment, an approximate 10% downward correction in steel prices, we were able to maintain our operational profitability in H1. Our EBITDA for the half year was at rupees 79 crores, a growth of 11% year-on-year, with an EBITDA margin at 3.01%. Our EBITDA margins in the non-steel segment remain steady at 6%. Q2 was a challenging quarter. The quarter witnessed a slowdown in the construction and infra segments. This was primarily due to heavy rains witnessed in most of our areas of operations. Steel prices softened substantially over the quarter. This was due to a subdued national and international demand, increased supply from China, which led to a steep fall in steel prices in the international market. This had an immediate impact in the domestic markets too. The falling prices impacted our profits for the quarter. EBITDA for Q2 FY25 stood at rupees 38 crores. And PAT stood at rupees 15 crores. Our PAT for the half year FY25 was rupees 31 crores. Our profitability is impacted by the inventory loss due to falling steel prices and certain costs incurred in branding, advertisement and marketing towards long-term sustainable growth of our non-steel business. The company continued its discipline in managing working capital. This is reflected in a reduction in our interest cost by rupees 2.5 crores over the previous quarter. Our cycle was sustained at approximately 30 days. We are well on track to demerge our building materials marketplace business, which has consistently delivered significant value, to simplify our business structure and pursue a focused capital allocation strategy. The marketplace business generated rupees 2,417 crores in revenue, and the manufacturing business generated rupees 672 crores in revenue in H1. The marketplace business continues to be a superior generator of returns with a ROCE of for H1 at 28%. We are continuously working towards optimizing operational efficiencies and competitiveness in the manufacturing business, which has led to a 50% growth in capacity utilization in H1. The demerger scheme has been filed with NCLT and we have received the creditors' consent. We expect the scheme to be implemented before the end of this fiscal. Going forward, Shankara continues to remain bullish in our steel business. Historically, November to March is the positive demand season for building materials. In this environment, we are confident of sustaining our growth momentum for our steel as well as our non-steel segments. We believe that steel prices are stabilizing. This will help us improve our margins and close the year on a better note. Shankara remains a unique business model, being the only organized player as an integrated marketplace combining retail and wholesale business in the building materials space. We have over 126 fulfillment centers, including 92 retail counters. We have over 1 lakh customers spanning 10 states. We have a strong physical presence in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities apart from metros. We represent all the leading brands from JSW, AMNS, APL Apollo in steel to Jaguar, Kohler, Kajaria, Simpolo, etc. in fitting, sanitary wear and flooring. We represent Havells, Jaguar Lighting in the electrical segment as well as Nippon in paints and adhesives. We have recently added Norton Abrasives, a subsidiary of Saint-Gobain, and many more. We probably represent the largest number of brands and are present in the most number of verticals in the building material industry. We have a dedicated sales force who are in the field meeting and onboarding potential customers on a regular basis. Apart from this, our vast physical presence, we have a comprehensive e-commerce platform. This hybrid model sets us apart from the competition. With this, I would now hand over the call to the moderator for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Yash from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand more about your marketplace business. So, you know, just to reiterate your guidance, do we believe that we can grow at 30-35% in FY26 and 27 and our EBITDA margins can be north of 6% here?
So just to clarify, when we talk about EBITDA margins of 6%, that's exactly in our non-steel segment, and we are looking at that 30 to 35% growth in the non-steel segment. Overall, we're looking at the marketplace having a 20 to 25% CAGR in the coming years, and we're hoping that EBITDA would be anywhere up of 3%.
Okay. And how many number of fulfillment centers do you intend to add in the next 2 years here?
So currently we have about 126. We will be adding about 6 this year further. We've already added 4. So in the next 2 years, we will certainly be adding another 10.
Okay. Got it. I'll come back in the queue, sir. Just one more question, sir. Sorry, if I can ask. You know, in your balance sheet, I'm just looking at the interest-bearing trade payables. So I think you pay some interest on your trade payables, right?
Sorry?
Are there some trade payables which are interest-bearing in your balance sheet?
Now the management generally, from time to time, keeps evaluating the options of debt financing versus creditors as a means of funding working capital, which is very good. So we do have acceptances largely in our trade payables, partially. So I think to your question, the answer is yes. It's in acceptances only.
Okay, so these are all acceptances, right? Yeah. Right. But I mean, why haven't the margins gone higher if we pay them early? Just don't understand.
Margins in terms of? Is it gross? Is it EBITDA?
No, gross level, I'm saying.
See, gross margins, if you really see, we have maintained a steady pace. There has been some impact in the gross margins, primarily because of the inventory valuation, some of the hits we have taken because of the steel price that has come down. So that is one area where we have seen some. Otherwise, the gross margins have remained quite steady if you compare H1 last year to H1 this year.
Okay. And what is, just last question, what is the number of trade acceptances in total trade payables if you have the data?
Alex?
Acceptance approximately around 450 crores is there.
Okay, 450 crores. Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Soni from Envest Analytical Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, sir. My question is, what is the company demand outlook for the industry in Q3 and Q4 of FY25, and there any specific trends and external factors that you anticipate will significantly impact demand in this quarter?
No, in the coming two quarters, we anticipate that it should be good, because there is an infra revival. I mean, generally now, if you look at it, as we have mentioned in the opening speech, that generally the quarters 3 and 4 post the monsoons is generally a strong demand quarters. So I do see that there would be a strong demand revival in the coming two quarters vis-a-vis what we saw in the last two quarters.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin Damania from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, the broader question is one to understand. You indicated that these on the non-steel, our margin is in the range of 6 to 6.5%, and in the previous call, you indicated a margin of near about 3% on the steel business. So just wanted to understand, if you look at the current quarter, despite the improvement in the operating leverage and the growth in the non-steel business, we have seen the sequential decline in the margin. I mean, did we have any one-off cost or inventory write-down during the quarter? Can you help us with that?
Yes, we did have a one-off write-off on the inventory cost in the last quarter. It's primarily because of steel.
So can you quantify that?
Quantification is approximately around 12 crores.
12 crores. Okay. And sir, when you look on the manufacturing operation, definitely 617 crores of the revenue that we did in 1H, can you help us in understand what was the capacity utilization and how shall one look in terms of the margin for the manufacturing business?
Yeah, sure. So now if you really look at the manufacturing businesses, which was probably the most hit because of the, and the manufacturing largely in the line of steel. So now coming to the capacity utilizations, we have improved the capacity utilizations. So our primary focus in terms of the manufacturing is A, first we start improving the capacity utilization, which we have, it has been languishing at around 30-odd% over the last some years. So the first target was to take it up to at least 50%, which we have achieved in the first half, particularly the last quarter. So that was number one is the strategy. Number two, we do see that going forward, definitely, and the second strategy was to get it out of, if you look at the first quarter versus the second quarter, manufacturing is in the positive side, which is again very, very important. So I think that the two clear objectives the company had, we have achieved in quarter two. So now going forward, we will sustain the manufacturing capacity at this level with maybe a marginal growth further, A. B, there will be greater focus on improving the margins, which is what we hope to achieve in the coming two quarters.
What margins are one should assume for the manufacturing business?
I think at an EBITDA level, our immediate target would be to achieve
3%.
Yeah.
So last question, I mean, definitely, I mean, if you can help us in giving the, give us the number in terms of the EBITDA in terms of the non-retail, and what was the revenue contribution from the Ceramica and the traction of Ceramica in Karnataka, Maharashtra and Tamil Nadu?
See, the Ceramica, the tiles, there has been a growth of around 30% in Q2 compared to the earlier quarter. That is number one. Number two, as far as the traction in Tamil Nadu and Maharashtra, just a minute, we'll just give you the numbers in a moment. Specifically Maharashtra and Tamil Nadu was in line with the overall. It was at around 35%. Maharashtra was a tad lower. I think it was around 20%.
So how shall one look at it? Because our key focus was on these three states, Karnataka, Maharashtra and Tamil Nadu. So are we seeing any significant improvement? Because I mean, I agree that last two quarters was the election quarter and the slowdown in the overall building materials segment. But going ahead, also one look at the performance in terms of this case and the Ceramica going ahead?
I think we will see good traction in these states that you mentioned. We are also now focusing on Telangana and Andhra Pradesh, which is also, again, a south-based state, so which is our geographical comfort. Always when we start any new product, we tend to focus more on the comfort zone geography, and then we move forward. So, yes, there would be continued, renewed effort in the states that you have mentioned, as well as we are adding Andhra and Telangana.
Okay. What was the APL volume in the last quarter?
I'll just give you the number. Just give me a moment. We did close to around 1 lakh tons with them in the last quarter.
Sure, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, it seems that our steel business is growing quite well. And like we have mentioned, 25% growth expectation for the in the volume terms for FY26. So when can we expect to achieve the upper end of the 2.5 to 3% guidance in the steel business? Because in each one, we have done around 2.5% end of margins. So on that segment.
Just to repeat on the last question, we just speak a little louder. So this is ending the question as such. You talked about steel that is growing. Then what was the question, please?
Yes, sir. So we are given a guidance of around 2.5 to 3% gain of margins will achieve in this segment. So when can we expect, can we expect the upper end of the 3% guidance for this year or the next year in this segment? Or what will drive us to reach the 3% gain of margin in this segment?
Yeah, I think in steel, if you're looking at margins at an EBITDA level, will be sustained going forward at the 3 to 3.5%. But we are very bullish about the growth, so growth will consistently keep happening.
Okay. And sir, since we are guiding a 3.5% margin on steel and 6.5% on the non-sheet, So can we have given a 3% upwards of 3% margin for our market based business. So is this on a conservative basis or do we see some kind of margin pressure due to inventory correction going forward? Or is there competition increasing from SG Mar than other players in the segment, in our main market based business?
Yeah. No, I mean, what is the connection with us to SG Mar? I didn't really get that.
When we are saying that our margins, we are optimistic of more than 3% margin in the main business as well. So why we are giving a margin of upwards of 3% when we are earlier giving for FY24 a margin of 3.5 to 4% in the marketplace business? So I'm trying to understand, are we lowering our margin estimates because of some kind of competition increasing, or with this inventory losses coming in, we are making it on a conservative basis, margin estimates.
Okay. If you see, the one is the competition, of course, is extremely strong. There is no doubt that we do have an extensive competition from many new players as well as SG Mart, etc. However, I think their competition is slightly on a different scale. They are more on only on wholesale, while we do have a blend. So that is number one. Number two, we are expecting this steady state. See, last quarter, if you really look at the steel part of the business, the EBITDAs were really lower. It was not even at 3.5%. It was at 2+. So it was lower. So which was impacted, as I mentioned earlier, because of the steel prices softening over the last quarter, etc. So I think, given the current market scenario, given the competitive intensity and what we expect in terms of the competition to, be there. So I think this would be a very steady state, and I think the clear strategy is to push for volume growth.
Okay. Sir, my next question is, sir, when I look at our non-steel business, sir, for the past 4 quarters, the revenue, although we have shown a YOY growth, but when we look at on the past 4 quarter basis, sir, our revenue has been stagnant on the 130 to 140 crore range. So is this just why is this, and can we expect the growth? So we are guiding for a 30-35% growth, but in the past 4 quarters, it has been stagnant at a stagnant level. So if you could just help me understand the same.
So in the non-steel, the growth that we are seeing, so in quarter one and quarter two, we are having around 35%. So normally, second half will be on the higher turnover. So we are expecting that second half, our turnover will go up in non-steel.
where the similar 30-35% will come.
Okay, so the second half should more than cover the 35% growth that we are guiding.
Yes, yeah.
Sir, just a final question, sir. When I look at Fortia Ceramica, sir, we have given a gross margin guidance of around like this 12 to 15%. But sir, on a PBT level, is it profitable? And what kind of margin from the gross margin can you expect to flow to our operating profit level? That is the final question.
So at PBT, we are profitable at Fortia, and like we have guided, we are at 12% of gross margin. We are aiming with the experience center coming up and with more marketing and other avenues that we can increase the gross margins. Currently, we stand around 7% EBITDA at Fortia, and we are looking at increasing the EBITDA and the gross margins. And
okay, so that was very helpful. So just a final clarification, sir, we guided that there was some kind of inventory loss and higher marketing expenses for this quarter. So what were the marketing expenses that were higher on a Q1Q or a YOY basis for Q2 FY25?
Yeah, the marketing expense was around one and a half. The marketing expense was approximately around 3.5 to 4 crores was the total marketing expense we had in first half.
Okay, so this was higher by 3 to 4 crore or it was 3 to 4 crore all each one to each one?
Overall around 3.5 crores we spent for marketing in the first half.
Versus each one of what was it?
See, normally we don't spend much on marketing efforts, and so this time we've had a fair amount of product launches across the country, particularly in Kerala and the south. And we've had a certain other branding expenses which we have incurred in this last 6 months. So I think there were a lot of influencer events. We had brand launches, so on. So I think normally in the same period, we would have barely spent about maybe around a 50 lakh kind of a budget in the first half. So we have gone up by more than 3 crores compared to the normal.
And we also did this year sponsor part of the CREDAI National Conference that was held in Sydney. So we were part of that because we wanted to increase our presence with the builder community.
So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ketan R. Chedda from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. If I look at your marketplace revenues and EBITDA that you have shown, it comes to about 2.8 for the first half of this financial year, 2.8% EBITDA margins. Now, I think if I heard correctly, you are saying that your non-steel margins would be around 6 or better and your steel would be 3 or better. So can you explain me why are we so low in this first half of the financial year itself? Because based on what you're saying, we should have achieved more or better margins in this first half.
Yeah. So I think primarily, if you look at quarter one, we were largely on track. Quarter two, I think the price of steel, it is very critical. 90%, 88% of our business is steel-based. So when you look at the averaging out, though in the non-steel, we maintain steady at that 6+ kind of an EBITDA, where it has not gone down. In steel, I think we took an impact in Q2, which we have mentioned in our opening remarks, as well as we have talked about it over the last, a few questions. So steel price has softened. There has been a fair amount, a 10 to 12% kind of a decrease, which had approximately about a 12 crore kind of an impact on our margins. So I think that is the reason why, if you look at Q2, EBITDA per se was only around 2.83 was the EBITDA for Q2. So that explains the decline in Q2.
So do we hope to recover the margins in the steel business in the upcoming quarters and upcoming years?
Yeah. So I think we believe that the steel prices are bottoming out currently. We have seen a rollover in the month of October as well as November as we speak. So we are fairly confident that steel prices will remain flat over the next, at least this quarter. And there is a scope of a marginal increase going forward. But that is something that we cannot really predict. But the only thing is we are reasonably confident that steel prices will remain relatively stable in the coming quarters.
Okay. And with respect to the acceptances that you've had since Q1 and Q2 of this financial year, just wanted to know, in the previous years, ever did we have this kind of an acceptance-related costs in our finance cost item? It is only in this financial year that we had this.
Yes, in the previous year also we had interest-bearing acceptance were there.
Okay, but then they were lower in quantum.
Yeah, the quantum was lower.
Okay. And if you also could explain, you know, if I compare H1 of last year and H1 of this year, the employee expenses have also increased by 16%, if I look at your slide number 13. So could you help understand, is this because of addition of manpower and staff or how much it would be because of the price hikes and appraisals that you have given to the staff?
Yeah, the thing is, this financial year, we had around 80 additional staff we had taken, so which has resulted into higher employee cost. Apart from that, the regular yearly increment we are given, so those things has affected in the increase in employee cost.
See, one of the key things we have done this year, particularly in the non-steel, we have added a few senior level people to handle our to handle our fascia, the brands, etc., at multiple levels. And we have opened up in Gujarat in a big way, in Morbi, we have added a number of people. So these are all, and there's been a substantial management bandwidth also addition. So I think these approximately have led to the about 16% that you mentioned, out of which about 9% was the increments that have come in, and the balance is the addition of staff.
Okay. And one question I had with respect to the Morbi Experience Center, if you could just help me understand how are we going to benefit by opening an experience center in Morbi? Because I understand, see, for the marketplace business, you would have a lot of your customers visiting your stores. So, if we open an experience center in Morbi, which is, I understand, it's a tile hub of the India, of the country. But how does it help us improve sales? Because most of your customers would be visiting your stores, which are spread across different states and different locations.
Yeah. So I think Morbi is where we also get all our manufacturing done, number one. Number two, there are lots and lots. See, Morbi straight away reaches us all India. It gives an all India exposure, A. B, it also gives us an international exposure. Because Morbi being the hub, you have N number of buyers who come from all over the country to Morbi, particularly at a trade level, at even at a builder level, and there are a lot of international buyers who come in. So I think this is the most compelling reason why we need to have a base at Morbi, where you have a much larger experience center. We've got 18,000 square feet over there, vis-a-vis at our various retail stores, etc., which could be 2,000, 1,000, 1,500, etc. So the larger space attracts larger crowds. It is a market. It is a sourcing hub. It is where a lot of visitors come in. Larger space, more designs to show. So I think Morbi is very compelling for us to have an experience center.
Okay. And if I may ask, how much of the cost we would have incurred in setting up the experience center? And is this part of the capex or it has gone as the operational expenses?
I think we have spent about 3 crores on and in the setting up of the center, and it is largely gone towards CapEx.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. Those were my questions. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neil Bahal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Just wanted to check, I'm a new investor here, so I'm like trying to get a better handle on everything. Just wanted to check on the interest cost. I saw till December, the interest cost was about 8 to 9 crores, which is suddenly spiked, and I understand it's because of
payables having interest outgo. You mentioned in the last call that it's likely to revert to normal at some point. Do you have any better clarity as to when this interest cost could go back to 7-8 crores per quarter?
The first thing is the normal as taking at 7-8 could be a challenge. However, if you look at the progress from Q1 to Q2, there has been an decrease of around 2.5 crores between the two quarter to one and quarter two in the interest cost. So we are working very hard to see that can we bring it back to a much more controllable level. Bringing it back to about 8-9 is a challenge. If you look at Q4 last year was around 9. So there is a strong about 9.75, almost 10. So I think there is a very, very concerted effort from our side. So if we can stabilize at least maybe around 11-ish, 12 in that region.
So for the next financial year, FY26, can I assume that it could be in the region of 11 per quarter?
That's our objective. I mean, any forward-looking statement from my side, we'll always try to work towards the best. So that is a very, very serious attempt that we are trying.
All right. And from your presentation, post-demerger, I see that most of the payables are going to the marketplace. That means most of the debt is also going towards the marketplace. Am I correct in my estimate that large part of this debt or interest costs are going to move to the marketplace business?
Yes, yes.
So it's not clearly mentioned, but if you could or this the CFO could tell me what is going to be the exact debt post demerger in marketplace and in manufacturing?
So what is happening is the figure what we are given is as on H1 of this financial year. So going forward in the marketplace, we will be in the manufacturing place, we will be having the debt of approximately around 100 crores. And including acceptance in the new company, will be having around 450 crores will be there. But overall around 550 crores of bank debt will be there.
Yeah, and so this would be acceptance debt and plus the 100 debt of normal term loans that you have.
No, we are saying about acceptance and debt together we are saying.
So the total debt is right now 550 crores is what you are saying.
Correct.
Okay, so 450 goes here and 100 goes there. And just again, I'm so sorry to ask a basic question. The marketplace is the business where there are no assets. It's an asset-light business. Right, but it will also be selling steel products or it will only be selling non-steel products?
So it will sell steel products also.
Right, so the thing that you produce at your manufacturing will be sold in the marketplace also. Right? Is there some transfer pricing policy like, you know, cost plus something that you sell over here?
Yeah, going forward, we would like to sell most of our products that we produce directly. And we will bring it down to for our marketplace, we will reduce the quantums of what we sell from our own production. A. B, yes, there is a very clear arm's length pricing when we do look at the transfer from our manufacturing to our marketplace.
Got it. Also,
if I may add another point to your earlier question on interest costs going up. Also, we have to keep in mind and note that the basic rate of interest itself has been increasing. So about 0.5% of the increase in interest cost has come because of the sheer fact that interest costs itself have increased. So I think that itself adds, if I'm not mistaken, to around 1.5-2 crores over the half year, over compared to the previous year.
Got it. Also post demerger, now the whole point is efficient capital allocation. Let's say this happens by Q4 or Q1 of next year, the demerged, the complete demerger happens.
Sure.
We don't expect the debt in the marketplace to increase, right? Because then it will be completely separated from the manufacturing. So if any growth in manufacturing that you wish to do, that debt would be only over there increasing. And if the ROCE and the cash generation in the marketplace is going to be strong. Should I expect that the marketplace side, the debt would keep reducing every year?
That is the attempt. Yes, definitely.
Could you I know it's forward-looking and you can't really say, but a range or an estimate of what kind of debt can reduce every year?
Can we work that out and come back to you? I mean, we'll take your contacts from the call. And probably, I mean, the attempt certainly is to go ahead with a reduction. But if I have to quantify it at this stage, we'll revert to you on this.
Perfect. If anybody from your team could just send me an email or just call me and would tell me, would be great.
Definitely, definitely. Can we just get your email ID right now so that we don't have to waste any time on getting it from the sources?
Yeah, yeah. It's Neil, N-E-I-L.
Yes.
At the rate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
N-E-G-E-N, Negen.
N, can you repeat again?
N-E-G-E-N.
N-E-G-E-N.
Negen Capital, C-A-P-I-T-A-L, capital .com. Neil at NegenCapital.com.
Sure. Got it. We'll revert.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Sure you are. Loud and clear.
Thank you very much for the opportunity and for a good congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have a couple of questions on the non-steel segment of the business. My first question is on sanitary ware. So I understand that it contributes to about 44% of the non-steel revenue. However, and you you know reported around 35% of growth in this revenue number. However, when we look at the sanitary ware companies among you know the listed ones, are showing a very mild growth in terms of their top line to the tune of say mid to mid single digit numbers. However, we understand that there are many private players that also exist in this space. So I just wanted to understand if this 30% plus growth is skewed to a certain players.
You can so. Our market share gains and the expansion of our product portfolio in other fulfillment centers, I think our increasing strength in Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, now with opening the center in Hyderabad and Kerala, I think all of these are contributing to growth for our sanitary ware. We still feel there's a huge potential for our growth in sanitary ware. Mainly, most of the growth has come from marquee brands like Jaguar, Kohler, Fariware. So you can say with these brands along with our additional centers and more marketing efforts, we are grabbing more of the market share and we are able to boast the high double-digit growth in this industry.
Okay. I mean, just to, so I understand this correct, so this is most from, you know, brands which are private, not publicly listed.
Most of the growth has come from the largest
companies. Yeah, right. They are private because Jaguar as well as Kohler are privately listed. They are not publicly listed companies. You're right, yes. So if we look at sanitary, the listed brands are like Cera, Indware, Pariware, etc. No, even Pariware is a privately held company, yes. You're right. I think we are with the more of the privately listed companies, yes.
Understood. Thank you very much. Very helpful. Can I also please understand the regional split of revenue in the sanitary ware segment? You did mention growth in West and I think North regions. However, can you just please articulate it again?
So just to clarify, the growth in Western and Central regions has been completely steel growth. It has been the growth of our core business of steel. When you ask for the breakup of sanitary ware, most of our growth of sanitary ware is between Karnataka and Tamil Nadu.
Understood. That's helpful. Just a follow-up on this, if I may. So we understand that at least construction activity was experiencing a slowdown due to the heavy monsoon in south. However, building products are also used for remodeling and you know refurnishing of houses. Does the company cater more to those kind of demands? Just a fundamental question.
I think that is also shown in the way if you look at the growth. steel is predominantly used in foundations and in structures, which do require applications where ground and activity of weather has to be good. But interior works like tiling and bathrooms and upgradation renovation has what has also helped us contribute to our 35% growth in the non-steel. And we do focus on all segments. I think our retail centers and counters focus on end home users, small time contractors and plumbers who are predominantly in renovation and basic construction business.
Understood. Thank you very much. So the second question is on the tiles business. Again, similarly listed players showing very minuscule growth numbers. However, 31%. The numbers that we see here are super high. So just some comments on that also, please.
I think one is partly whatever we have already given you the reason. Second, I think our base is also lower. So I think both this has helped. Being a new kid off the block, I think the aggression, the kind of marketing efforts the team has put in at a very micro level, We have mentioned in some of our closing remarks in the opening speech, see, the biggest advantage Shankara has is we still are maybe a listed player, 5,000 crore top line, but the company acts and behaves as an absolute grounded, down-to-earth, at a shop level kind of an entity. I think this is what really sets us apart from many of the other larger companies. So I think this ground level kind of focus really helps us sustain our growth.
That is super helpful. Thank you very much for your detailed answers. I really appreciated it. That will be all from my end. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Varun Pinto from Negan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Hi sir, I just actually wanted some guidance on the growth prospects and the margin for the manufacturing business. Now that we are going to be separating both of those businesses, what is the management's plan for the manufacturing business? I know you guys have said that you want to increase capacity utilization, but in terms of revenue and margin, if you could have some sort of guidance of what is going to happen with that business, that would be.
See, our target as far as revenue goes, we would be looking at in the next year, definitely we have to keep growing in the manufacturing. Like I mentioned earlier, we are looking at around the 50% plus capacity utilization is the first target, number one. Number two, we are very clearly looking at that achievement of a 3% kind of an EBITDA and in the manufacturing. I think these are the two very clear objectives and thoughts that we have as of now.
Right, sir. And so this, interest-bearing debt, payables that we take, is that something that we do for the manufacturing business as well, or is that only for the marketplace business?
This is majorly for the marketplace business.
Okay.
Manufacturing also, some of the raw material suppliers, we are offering the acceptance and giving it. So it is mix of both.
Okay, understood. So could you give me a bifurcation of how much of that goes to the marketplace and how much of that goes to the manufacturing, the acceptance?
So out of 450 of acceptance, approximately around 350 will be towards the marketplace and approximately around 100 crores will be for manufacturing.
Understood, sir. And sir, in the presentation you have said that you have reduced 100 crores of debt in this quarter, 100 crores of debt. So is that the payables, the acceptances which have been reduced?
Yeah, both debt as well as acceptance. Both together we are reduced 100 crores in this quarter.
Right. So last quarter you said it was somewhere around 620 and this quarter it is 450, right?
540 to 540, 100 crores reduction is there.
Okay, understood. That's it from me. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Miraj from Allianz Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the decent set, sir. My question has been answered, but just wanted to dig a bit deeper in the non-steel segment where you have an amazing growth. Although you've said it is on a lower base, but then to broadly, if I see all the players in tiles or sanitary ware, there is no growth. I'm still trying to navigate through that. What other reason is there that the trading growth is possible over here, because all the other players I've seen are not showing growth? Is there any other particular reason?
I think two or three reasons. I think one reason is, like we said, that base is small, we are very aggressive, we are grounded as a team, we are running across with our field work and marketing efforts, and the amount of centers we have seen good growth in this. Second, two is we do have a large number of brands, so we are not a single brand company, so we're able to cater to multiple diverse customer needs, from luxury to premium to mid segment to lower segment as well. So that obviously definitely helps us gain more market share and more customers as well. And I think thirdly is the territory expansion which we are doing, and I think the focus on sanitaryware, which we've always had, is being one of our key drivers in non-steel. So I think this kind of what has contributed and attributed to our growth for this segment.
But sir, in tiles, we only have Scotia, right? We don't sell any other tiles, or do we?
No. We do a lot of tiles with other companies. We do good numbers with Kajaria, Somany, Nitco, Simpolo, just to name a few. So we do have that in our retail segment, in Tamil Nadu especially, so, and in Karnataka as well. So it's not just Scotia. We do have a mix of brands there as well.
Okay. And could you just specify how much did tile segment grew year on year?
Tile segment grew around 40%. 30% year on year. 30%
year on year. 30%. Okay. And sanitaryware would be then somewhere close to 40%?
45.
Okay, perfect. Okay, yeah, that's it from my side, sir. All the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm trying to understand that you mentioned that we took a 12 crore inventory loss in the second quarter. So our EBITDA was 37 crore. So is it safe to assume that from the third quarter onwards, once this 12 crore inventory hit is not there, we'll do upwards of 50 crore EBITDA per quarter?
So we are projecting approximately 3 to 3.5% of EBITDA only for the, with the...
Yeah, you can, that's a very simple assumption that, yes, I mean, that's always our attempt to keep that focus on, yes.
So because, I mean, since Q2 was even seasonally due to the monsoons, so the revenue should also be higher quarter on quarter. And if the inventory hit is not... And sir, one more thing, sir, the interest on acceptances that we are giving, sir, are we giving it primarily to APL Apollo?
So there are so many vendors out there.
No, it's not primarily for APL Apollo. It's a mix of all brands and all purchases.
Okay. Sir, actually, if we see, then if we compare the first half year on year, our revenue is up by 15%. And sir, if we look at our core working capital, which is just adding inventory, receivable, and subtracting the payables. So basically, year on year, it has increased from 576 crore to 583 crore, which is almost flat only. There is not much increase in the working capital, core working capital. So, but the interest cost has actually gone up significantly. It has actually doubled year on year. So what that means is that for the same, basically, working capital not having gone, still... So basically, the competitive, the terms of trade have deteriorated for the company. So basically, so why is it that, I mean, it seems that...
Hello?
Sorry to interrupt, sir.
Hello?
The current participant has been disconnected. We will move on to the next question. It's from the line of Anuj Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Couple of questions from my side. Can you throw some light on the point which you have mentioned in your presentation, distribution of JSW and AM and NS, like ArcelorMittal and Nippon Steel? what kind of products we are distributing for these companies?
JSW, it is both JSW and AMNS. JSW is largely HR coils and HR sheets, as well and in the case of AMNS, we are across the board. We do deal with their HR coil sheets. We have the GP, we have the value-added color-coated products, GC, CR, etc.
And for which territory it is?
Actually, AMNS is across our areas of operation. JSW is only currently in Karnataka.
Okay, got it. And can you help me in understanding one thing, how these fulfillment centers are different from stores? I mean...
Yeah, the fulfillment center, you see, the stores primarily cater to a retail kind of a walk-ins, etc., while the fulfillment centers, we are catering to a much larger audience where it could be wholesale customers, it could be the end customers, project customers, etc. So I think it's a mix of the entire thing. So if you look at fulfillment centers, the definition would be mix of the store plus the warehousing and processing units too.
Okay. So it's kind of big format stores, kind of.
Necessarily... large format stores, so to speak, I would say it's catering to a larger customer profile.
Larger customer. Got it. And one last question, I mean, how we are doing in this online marketplace business, I mean, kind of portal which we have launched, that online sales, any numbers we are driving from there and any plans?
So currently we're on you could say 1 crore a month. Kind of sales that is coming out of it is purely from sanitary and fittings. But we are now adding steel to the platform as well. We are adding a few more products as well. So we are looking to see how much more revenue we can generate out of this. We are also using our online store as a discovery platform, as an experience center as well. So customers can see the various brands and products that are available at BidPro. And we do get a lot of offline footfalls and walk-ins thanks to our online presence as well.
Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, so I lost you last time. So what I was trying to make the point that, sir, even though our H1 revenues are up by 15% year on year, our interest cost has doubled. Even though our net working capital is flat from 576 crore in H1 of FY24, it has increased to just 583 crore. So what it seems is that we have started paying interest on acceptances of payables to parties that previously we were not paying. So can you just explain that? Is that thinking correct? And sir, if so, then sir, basically has our basically terms of trade deteriorated for the company?
No, I don't think that is so. If you look at first is in terms of trade, when you look at the raw material cost plus the interest cost, you will see that the margins have really not deteriorated at all. It's more or less same. Whatever impact that in quarter two could have happened or in the first half could have happened, the slight deterioration will easily be attributable to the raw material kind of hit that we took in the first, the second quarter particularly, number one. Number two is whenever the management will always take calls when we see, you know, options of debt financing versus taking the creditors as a means to fund working capital largely. So last year the call was more to take on with the creditors wherever possible. This year we find that wherever sometimes the creditors withdraw certain terms, so their cash discounts may not be lucrative enough. So where we do find debt financing is much better. So I think that is one of the key reasons why the debt to some extent in the acceptances area has gone up. And that is broadly that is the answer that I can give you.
So basically we have not started paying interest to parties that earlier we were not paying.
No, not at all.
Okay. Sir, also, sir, we are barely doing 5,000 crore revenue, and I'm assuming most of it is coming from South India, and South India is contributing 40-50% of the GDP. So why is there a need to then expand into new territories? Why not saturate the area which is our core? So possibly there will be some synergy if we expand in South India itself, sir, because 5,000 crore is hardly like, it's not that we have totally penetrated the southern market and now we need to go to new states. So what are your thoughts on that?
See, we have always reiterated your point. Thank you for reconfirming our stand that has been so for the last many years. So one of the things that we, if you look at even our breakup of sales, largely our 80%+ is in South India even today. We have grown in the steel area in the western region. So if you look at again from a GDP perspective, if you add south and west, I'm looking at Maharashtra and Gujarat, I think with, going on your statistic, probably 70% of India's GDP then comes from these two states, though I believe it's closer to 65. So I think getting a little bit of a foothold in the western region is very critical also, because a lot of infra, Maharashtra still remains the largest state in terms of GDP in the country. Gujarat is also very developed and a forward state in terms of contribution towards GDP. So I think it's very, very important that we keep a foothold and more than a foothold in these kind of states, number one. Number two is we've also moved into central India, that is Madhya Pradesh. We also believe that going forward, some of these states, the central states like Madhya Pradesh, going northwards, maybe towards Uttar Pradesh, Rajasthan, we do see that there is going to be a lot of growth potential in the future. These are states which are starting at a low base. They have a lot of infra projects. There's been a lot of focus from the central government in some of these states. So I think it is imperative, even if we don't have a very, it's not that we are, growing in these states at the sacrifice of the south. We will continue to saturate and keep most of our new fulfillment centers, etc., etc. The plan is to grow in the south.
Right. And so sir, also, sir, since we are an organized retailer cum wholesaler in the building material space, sir, now the organized, let's say, tile manufacturers like, let's say, Kajaria, or for that matter, pipes and steel in APL Apollo, sir, they are already well established. They have their own distribution network. They have their own brand pull. So if we are selling their material only from our store, then, sir, obviously, they will not give us good terms. I mean, if we are able to sell, like, let's say, sir, there's a huge overcapacity in tiles. So if we can basically sell unorganized sectors, the small players which are unbranded, if we can sell their material from our store and we can do quality control, so that is where I think the real opportunity is. So because then we can really get good margins also and we can extract good credit terms or working capital terms also from those suppliers. So basically, what are your thoughts on that? So should we not reduce our dependence on the established players and try to sell the material of basically small players?
I think this answer is two part to this. I think one would be regarding steel and one would be regarding non-steel, because both industries work differently. Mr. Ravi Kumar will talk about steel, but for non-steel, I would say that Fosha is born out of this. I think there is a niche and opportunity in the tile industry where we could find a space, and that's where we did come in. I think when it comes to sanitary and fittings, since the brands are visible and all the marquee brands are spending huge in marketing, customers do come in for brands. I think there will still always be a pull for Jaguar compared to an unknown brand coming out of any other manufacturing. So I think a good mix going forward would be good for us in this in the non-steel segment. For steel, I'd ask Mr. Ravi Kumar to just.
As regards steel, most of the manufacturers who are established, they have to route their material through distributors like us. It is very important for them, and it is equally important for us also to have them in our portfolio. It helps in a very big way for both of us.
The second, I mean, when you're saying about brand, like why only do Apollo and why not others? See, today there is a brand pull from the end customer. See, India is a very peculiar country where most commodities are branded. So the customer, you look at it, India is probably the only country where steel is branded, cement is branded, plywood is branded. A lot of commodities are branded across the board. And when we do talk to some of the even multinational manufacturers of glass, various things, they're quite surprised and amazed at the way the branding has come is being done in India, right down to our TMT steel, so on and so forth. So one cannot really disregard the a brand pull in this country. So I think we will have to find a balance between brands as well as non-brands. And I think when it's non-brands, like you rightly said, we'll have to have quality monitoring. And it's a phased step-by-step process.
Right, sir. And, sir, lastly, sir, if we look at the competition, like, sir, infra.market or SG Mart, so those people, sir, their cost of equity is so low because they are able to raise capital at a multiple of sales. So does that not basically, sir, how do we compete with these people? I mean, since their cost of equity is so low, and whereas for us it's not the same.
See, A, you yourself answered the first part is, fortunately or unfortunately, we are not a startup. So A, we do not have money to burn. So every way we look at it, we have to account for our expenditures and ultimately the bottom line. That's number one. Number two, these guys are looking at their whole business model very, very differently. They are at a much larger scale in terms of wholesaling and so on. We have the unique model where we've got retail. We have, a very vast number of end customers. We've got a huge, huge customer base. And I think our 40-year-old legacy is not going to waste over there. We are very grounded. We've got a strong presence in Tier 2, Tier 3 kind of cities. So I think our very, very expanded wide network is holding us in good stead. So though those guys will raise capital at a lower price, we will have to bear that cost. But I think in the long run, the kind of base, the kind of expansion of customer base, I think will hold us good in the long run.
Sir, and lastly, sir, you think that in the second quarter, sir, our performance has bottomed out on the, sir, let's say, profit after tax level, after interest and everything. And going forward, sir, things should pick up from here, at least on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Definitely, yes.
Okay, sir, thank you.
Just to take back to your earlier question, you looked at it only from an interest cost, but if you look at it even from an ROC level, I think in this context, probably ROC could be the final arbitrator. So when we get into the marketplace model, which is something we are driving towards, I think then our comparison should go to that maybe at that time.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neil Bahal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to check on the manufacturing business. I had three questions for that. You said that your aspiration is to get to 50% plus in utilization level and something sort of a 3% EBITDA margin. Where do you stand currently in your utilization level, and by when do you think you can get to, let's say, 75-80% utilization?
See, we have just about hit the 50% mark. That was our target number one. So as far as 70, we like to sustain this 50 plus, around 50 plus for the next, this coming two quarters. That is objective number one. Number two, after that, once we sustain at that level, and we are able to focus and get our EBITDAs up, I think that then we will look at the 70-75% kind of capacity utilization, probably after the demerger process.
Understood. Now I want to understand that this, when you said 3% EBITDA target, that's at 50% utilization, or that will happen later at 75-80% utilization? Because when does the operating leverage play out here?
I think the operating leverage to some extent has already started playing out. If you look at from the profitability of Q1 to Q2, we have actually crossed the, at least from a break-in level, it's slightly improved. I can't say a substantial improvement because we were impacted because of the raw material prices, etc. in Q2. So I think we are nearing there as far as the leverages and the profitability should start kicking in. And certainly the 3-3.5%, we will see if we can get that going by around that 60-60% kind of capacity utilization.
So 3 can come by at 60% utilization?
Yes, broadly.
And that is like mostly post the demerger, sometime in FY20.
Yes, yes.
How? What is the maximum? What is the peak revenue here?
Sir, can you please fall back in the question queue for further questions?
Well, this is extremely important what I'm trying to ask. Can I ask one more question?
Sure, please go ahead.
I want to understand what is the peak revenue of our manufacturing setup?
Peak revenue should be in the region of around 1,400-1,500 crores.
1,500. And the peak margin is also 3%, or the peak margin can be more than 3%?
I mean, we will guide at this point of time for 3. Always the aspiration is to build up.
Obviously, because if at 60% we can get to 2.5-3, then at peak we should be at 4, probably 4.5. Is that doable in your estimate? Like, just as a...
The attempt is always there, Mr. Neel.
An opportunity. Yeah.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much, sir. This helps a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Mandale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I have a question on the growth of steel business. So currently we have been growing really well, but you know, how do you see the growth, you know, 2-3 years out, and what are the key drivers there, you know, growth drivers?
I think we do see a sustained growth of, I mean, our target is from a volume base, definitely at that 20-25% kind of a growth. We are very clear. We've already guided in our presentation itself that we would like to hit the 1 million mark in terms of the steel tonnages in the next year. So that is something that we have already given an indication for 25-26. So that is something we certainly aspire. And coming to the drivers for growth, I think there is a huge infra spend overall in the country, which is led by railways, by roads, by ports. Then there is an enormous building material, the building and the construction boom that is happening in many pockets of the country. So I think it is a multi-faceted growth push that is driving the demand for steel.
Thank you. I mean, if you look at the number of stores or fulfillment centers that we're adding, you know, those numbers are fairly modest in terms of growth rate of, you know, where we are today. So what type of market share, you know, gain are we factoring in, or, you know, can you talk a little bit about market share?
Market share of steel?
Yeah, on the steel business.
Steel business, honestly, if you look at the entire demand of steel in this country, is upwards of 100 odd million tons comfortably in the country, and it's only growing forward. Looking at the kind of expansion that some of the big JSW, Tata Steel, etc. are going about, I think they are projecting, I mean, the government as well as the organized sector, as well as the secondary sector in steel manufacturing, etc., want to take India to about 250 million tons kind of a consumption market. So I think if you look at the very big picture in India, I mean, we are still a dot on the firmament. So the runway is huge, 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 huge.
Great. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Pinto from Negan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
So, sir, currently we are giving our segmental revenues as, you know, like steel and non-steel, right? But post the demerger, how much is going to be the contribution of steel in the marketplace business?
In the, you're asking about the immediate near future. I think our target is about 80% of steel will be in the immediate future in the marketplace business.
Okay, so when the demerger happens, 80% of the revenue will be coming from the steel business and 20% from the non-steel business, and the non-steel business is going to keep increasing over the years, right?
Correct.
Okay, understood. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ketan R. Cheta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity again. So I just wanted to understand, like, you know, for this year, what is the revenue expectation or guidance that you could give for the marketplace over FY24 and also the margins guidance, if you can give, please?
Yeah. I think the broad growth this year we can expect in the region of, around 15 to 20% in the volumes of steel and 30 35% in the non-steel. So I think blended growth will be in the region of around 20% or so in terms of the revenue uptake.
Okay, and margins, if you can give some indication?
I think we definitely will be in the region of upwards of 3. At an EBITDA level.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we've gone up to around 12:15, 12:20 now. So are we still having any questions in the queue?
No, sir. There are no further questions. You can go ahead with your closing comments.
Yeah. So thank you very much, and it's been a real pleasure attending this investor call. Thanks to all the people who have attended here today, and I hope we at Shankara have been able to give you satisfactory answers, and we look forward to your continued participation with us. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.